From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you, David, and it's great to be on again this weekend, Life Change Weekend. Thank you for listening in. And today we're going to talk about doubt. Now, many of you that listen on a regular basis know we bring in various guests. We've had authors, we've had people giving their testimonies, how Christ changed their lives. We've had so many wonderful guests come in, and it's our privilege every month to have Pastor Bob Kadlecic, pastor of the Bridgewater Ministry. Five locations, is it, Pastor, you have now for the ministry there?
Yes.
Yeah, five locations. Wonderful work of God. We're so thankful for them. And we're having him with us today to talk about the subject of doubt. Have you ever had doubt in your life? And so we're glad that you're listening in. And if you're traveling somewhere today, be safe. And if you're home getting up and having that cup of coffee, you enjoy this. And when it's time, grab that second cup and just enjoy yourself as we talk about something we all face, and that's doubt. So, Pastor, thank you for this topic. As soon as somebody says doubt, I think those who have been Christians for many years probably think of Doubting Thomas. We call him that. And yet later on in life, he went, as you know, to India. Boy, the work that he did there was unbelievable. And but he went through a period, I guess we all have. So have you gone through periods of doubt in your life?
Yeah, I really have. In fact, one of the biggest periods I shared with our congregation recently was when I was in my 20s. You know, you graduate from high school, you go to college, and the question kind of occurred to me, what are the chances that what I had been taught and how I had been raised was the truth? And I actually liked math at the time, wanted to be a math teacher, and I did some quick calculations, 7 billion people. Well, actually, there's only 5 billion people on Earth then when I was in my early 20s. And 5 billion people, the vast majority, believe something completely different than I did. And I thought, you know, statistically, I probably wasn't taught the truth, raised in a Christian home. So I read the Bhagavad Gita. I got a free copy of the Book of Mormon from some men that stopped by, and got a copy of the English version of the Quran, studied Eastern religions, and you know, many Eastern religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, certain forms of that, they reject logic and the physical reality completely. And so that was crazy to me. And then, you know, studying the Quran, there's no historical background to that. You know, some of the historical things that Muhammad did were really pretty terrible. And so that I rejected. And really, actually, the worldview that was most appealing to me was atheism and agnosticism. Agnosticism, of course, being we don't know whether there's a God, but if he does exist, he's probably far away. And that most appealed to me because it meant I could live however I wanted to, especially sexually. As a young man, that was hard to follow Christ in that way. But as I studied even that, I realized that the probability of such complex life forms coming about by chance and everything coming from nothing, and it was like intellectual suicide. I just did not have enough faith to believe that there was no God, even though I really wanted there to be no God so I could live however I wanted to. And it's it's really a blessing looking back, because what I thought was freedom and what I thought I wanted, I realize now was a trap and a prison of addiction and sin and pain. And I'm so glad that, you know, in questioning my faith, I came away really even stronger, understanding and realizing that what my mom and dad taught me as a little kid growing up actually was true. The Bible is God's word. Jesus did come and live and die and rise again. And so, you know, I came out of that doubt stronger than ever. However, it would have been quicker if I would have talked to someone about it. But I really kept it all to myself, and kind of, because I just didn't feel like it was okay to doubt in church at that point.
Well, that's a great transparent testimony. I appreciate you saying that. Well, what about in the Bible? I've mentioned Thomas, but are there other examples of doubt in the Bible?
Yeah, there's, in fact, I would say almost every character in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, doubted from time to time. And even you have someone like Abraham, that I think sometimes we refer to him in Christian circles as the father of faith. And he's in this glowing Hebrews 11 passage, by faith Abraham, you know, he went to a place that he'd receive as an inheritance, and he obeyed, and all of this. In Hebrews 11, you know, 2,000 years later, there's this glowing report. But when you go back into Genesis chapter 12 and 15 and 17, I mean, you get this story of a man who just, he does doubt God. Genesis 15 says this. He says, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus?" So 10 years earlier in chapter 12, God said, "I'm going to give you a land, and you don't know where, just start walking, and I'm going to give you descendants, and I'm going to bless those descendants." And 10 years later, he's in the land. He's like, "I got that, check. But God, like, I was 75 10 years ago. Now I'm 85. Sarah's 75. We're not getting younger. Like, are you going to come through?" I mean, you hear doubt in his voice. You, God, have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And so I think the circumstances surrounding Abraham and Sarah seemed bigger than God. And maybe that's a feeling that I think maybe we can all relate to, but I'm sure there are some right now that can really relate to that. You believe God for things in the past, and maybe you even believe them for salvation, but whatever you're in right now that's staring you down, the diagnosis maybe that's crippled you with worry, the financial burden that you just seems overwhelming, you know, it's easy to kind of relate to Abraham and wonder, like, where is God now?
Yeah, that is really so true, Pastor. I'm sure many of our listeners, as you say that, can think about examples and times in their own life. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. We're delighted you're listening in. This is Dina Padron chatting with you with Pastor Bob Kadlecic from the Montrose Bridgewater Ministries. We're so glad to have him on. Our gift this month is the book Leadership Lessons from the Pastoral Epistles. It's taking all of the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and there's much discussion in the world today about church leadership and how is the church supposed to function. And we've written a commentary, over 200 pages on that. And you can get it simply by ordering it at Amazon, or you can go to our webpage at dinapadronministries.org and order the book. And it's published by Beacon of Truth. It's our newest book. We'd love to have you get it. Well, this is a fascinating topic, biblical examples of doubts. So if you doubt, here's a good question, I think, Pastor. Does it draw us closer to God?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I think even, you know, ahead of that, I think there's an impression a lot of people have that it is wrong for Christians to doubt. and it's a lack of faith, and God will judge you. And I just wanted to just read something someone wrote a little while ago that I came across, and just for everyone to just think through what this guy's saying and what it's like to doubt like this. He says this: "I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seemed to live such painless lives, bodies healthy and so strong, and they didn't have troubles like other people, and they're not plagued with problems like everyone else. What does God know? Does the Most High even know what's happening? I mean, look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease where their riches multiply. Do I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain." That's quite an accusation at God, and a lot of doubt. And is it okay to talk like that? And some people may have recognized it was kind of a modern version of that. That's Psalm 73. And not only did some guy by the strange name of Asaph write that almost 3,000 years ago, but it was part of their hymn book. Imagine if we sang that on Sunday morning. I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. You know, and I think we need to understand that the doubt itself is not wrong. I think what's wrong is how we respond to that doubt. Even, you know, Psalm 22 is more well known. You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away, so far from cries of my anguish? I cry out by day, but you don't listen. I cry out at night, but I find no rest. And of course, Jesus quoted those words on the cross. And I think this idea of doubt being bad all the time is really does a disservice to. It's really a temptation. Doubt can be a temptation. Temptation isn't wrong. It's what you do with it. It's how you respond to it. And I think we need to understand that God can handle our doubts. We can talk to him like that and say, God, I'm just upset. Like, where are you? I need you right now. And I think doubt is best when we run to God in our doubts. And that's how our doubts, I think, can draw us to God, is by not running away from him in them, but running to him.
You're listening into Life Change Weekend with Pastor Bob Kadlecic. This is Dina Padron chatting with you. This is a fascinating topic we're on. It's a topic that all of us deal with. It's doubt. I remind you that our gift of the month this month is Leadership Lessons from the Pastoral Epistles. To get your copy, simply go to our webpage at dinapadronministries.org, or you can go to various other places. Our newsletter has it on. Our various places on the internet has it on. And of course, you can go to Amazon and get the book. And so much of the money that comes in for these books goes to our ministry in Myanmar to support pastors. And you can read about that through our newsletter and webpage. But we do want you to get this book. So I guess an obvious follow-up to what you just said, Pastor, is, when is doubt dangerous, or maybe when is it most dangerous?
Yeah, and so it is good to recognize that doubt, that there is a positive use that God has for doubt when it drives us to him. And so I guess it's most dangerous when we take God out of the equation. And even thinking about Abraham and Sarah, when they got in the most trouble is when they took God out of the equation and tried to figure out how to get God's promises without him. And in their story, that was Abraham, well, Sarah actually coming up with it, saying, you know, I have this Egyptian slave named Hagar, and the Lord has kept me from having children. And it's interesting that she says it that way. The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And so it's God's fault that we're not having the life we want, that this promise hasn't been fulfilled. And so maybe I can fix it. And that's, you know, we have war throughout so much of human history. by people who claim to be the descendants of Ishmael, the son of Sarah, the son of Abraham and Hagar, and with those who are the Jewish people, the sons of the children of Isaac, who was God's promise. And that all came about because in their doubt, Sarah and Abraham too, they took God out of the equation. I don't think, you know, Abraham's having relations with Hagar was this, you know, impulsive sexual thing. I mean, the guy was like 85.
Mm-hmm, right.
So I think Abraham agreed with Sarah. You know what? God did promise that I would have descendants as numerous. He didn't promise that Sarah would. So maybe we can just bend some of the other laws and principles of God and kind of take matters into our own hands and figure it out on our own. And I think that's when doubt is most dangerous. And the cure for that is really hard because often it means waiting and not doing anything. And we just are so impatient and it's just so hard to just wait on God in our doubts instead of trying to fix it ourselves somehow.
Well, that's really good, Pastor, very helpful. I guess in listening to you as well, telling your story, your testimony, and then talking about Abraham, does God put us in seasons of doubt on purpose? There are seasons in life, but does God put us in seasons of doubt with a design behind that?
Definitely, and I think sometimes we often try to hedge and protect God from being totally sovereign. But yeah, God doesn't just allow doubts or allow pain into our lives. He is working in it and intentionally doing it. And I think, you know, seasons of doubt, I think one of the things we need to recognize about God that we don't talk about enough is we talk about God's patience, but what does that mean? I think practically speaking, it means he's really slow. Mm-hmm. And we don't like to wait for the microwave to finish. And, you know, our doubt can really try to hurry God up. And we just need to just slow down. And so often, so like with Abraham and Sarah, if I was Abraham, like in chapter 17, God renews his promise to Abraham and says, no, you are going to have a son, and it will be through Sarah. She's going to have a son too. Hmm. If I was Abraham, I would have said, really? Hmm. You couldn't have told me that 10 years ago? That would have just, you know, if God had told him that it's also going to be Sarah, I'm sure they never would have tried to, you know, go through Hagar and, you know, get around God's, you know, law in that way. But I think it's in the fog of not knowing that God wants to use to drive us to him. There's so much in God's word that's clear, but there's a lot that's not clear. And those are some of the most frustrating decisions. Like, do I take this job? Do I marry this person? Do I, you know, how do I respond to my child who's going through such a difficult time? And there's no clarity. The Bible doesn't say you need to say exactly this, you need to do this, you need to move here, but it's in that fog that God wants us to draw closer to him, not to take things in our own hands and say, well, God is silent, so I'm gonna fix this. But to just slow down and say, you know what, God, I don't know. Help me, you know, and just to lean on him. And I think that's why God puts us in seasons of doubt. In fact, even from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, the command wasn't don't kill each other. Like that would make sense. They would both be like, oh, that's I'm totally with God on that. No, the command was there's a tree in the garden with fruit on it. What is the point of fruit? I mean, fruit trees are made for eating. And so there's this fruit tree made to be eaten, and God says, don't eat it. And why would God do that? That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why God would tell me that. And so they disobeyed him. And I think that's the time when we most show our love and trust of God, is when we obey and trust him, even when we're doubting, even when we don't understand. I really think faith and doubt are a couple, like courage and fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, right? If someone is, if someone runs out under enemy fire and grabs his friend on his shoulders and, hobbles back to safety, if someone does that and wasn't afraid, they weren't courageous. They were just nuts. They were crazy. But it is courage when you're scared to death and you do what's right anyway. And that's faith. If you don't have any doubt, you're not really flexing any faith muscles. It's when we doubt and we're unsure, and yet we still trust God anyway, not knowing how it could possibly work out, that's great faith. And that's what made Abraham the father of faith.
Well, this has been excellent teaching, Pastor. So I guess we're saying here that doubt is actually good. It's got a good purpose at the end of the day.
Definitely, yeah. In fact, I think doubt is not a time to panic. It's a time to process. And so when you're in a time of doubt, it doesn't mean like, oh no, God's going to punish me even more because I'm doubting him. I think it's a time to think through things like I did. When I was in my early 20s, okay, I'm not panicking that maybe everything I've been told is a lie and I can, but I want to process through this. Is this true? Is he real? Can I trust him? What are the lies maybe I'm listening to that I need to highlight and root out of my life? Doubt is not a time to panic. It's a time to process.
Yeah. We have just about a minute left here, Pastor. So what are the good things that come out of doubt?
So like in Abraham and Sarah's case, great faith came out of their doubt. And that's encouraging because, I wish more people would. We have some people in our church that are elderly and have recently told their stories. And it's just so awesome because you see an older couple and you think, man, they love the Lord. They must have always loved the Lord. They must have always been so certain of God and who he is. They must have always. And the truth is that that's not the case. And so doubt, I think, actually builds our faith. I think God makes himself present in our doubts because he's not distant. And so many times in going through a season of doubt, it's hard. But then when we come out of that doubt, you have, like Abraham and Sarah, even more faith that boy, God could be. Because just imagine if God had given Isaac to Abraham and Sarah right off the bat, like when he was 75 and she was 65, that would have been pretty amazing. But there's no way they would have had the relationship with God that they eventually had. Without that time of doubt and difficulty and questioning.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that's a topic I think I can hear people talking in their house right now over coffee about doubt. I can think of that person traveling down the highway, Pastor, and they put the volume up just a little more because this is a topic that we all deal with. And thank you for sharing that. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. Don't forget leadership lessons from the pastoral epistles. Go to our webpage at dinoprioministries.org. Go to Amazon or go to our newsletter if you receive that. A number of other places that are offering this book, and make it a part of your library. And it teaches us about the importance of the local church and what God expects of it. Thanks so much for listening in. Join us Monday for our weekday programs, and then again next Saturday for Life Change Weekend. Have a blessed weekend.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.